A great work of art. A work for eternity. These were the words used by Pope Benedict when he was presented last week with a limited edition reproduction of the St. John's Bible, the first handwritten illuminated Bible commissioned in more than 500 years. The Pope received the Wisdom Books volume at a presentation in the Vatican during the annual meeting of the Papal Foundation. He will receive the remaining 6 volumes of the Bible over the next 4 years. The $4 million project, funded by private donations, was commissioned by St. John's Abbey in Minnesota, one of the largest Benedictine monasteries in the world. The Bible's British artist, Donald Jackson, was also present at the audience with the Pope. Over the past 10 years, he and a team of calligraphy experts painstakingly painted every page on parchment, using feather quills, natural handmade inks, hand-ground pigments, and gold leaf to illustrate the original handwritten text. But while the methods used to illustrate St. John's Bible are hundreds of years old, the imagery has such modern touches as a picture of the Twin Towers, to illustrate forgiveness in the gospel parable of the prodigal son. Donald Jackson said it has always been his greatest wish to handwrite and illuminate the Bible. At a press conference following the presentation of the St. John's Bible to the Pope, I asked Jackson to explain his reasons.
I've been doing calligraphy since I was a 9-year old. And when you start doing it, you start copying illuminated manuscripts, or you try to. And then I went to art school, and I always was interested in graphic art. I still specialised in calligraphy and lettering. The real source and fountain in Western culture for calligraphy is the Bible and essentially Christian works, which are spin-off from that. I think most calligraphers have that idea. This is the Sistine Chapel of the calligrapher lettering artist's mental imagination, really. This is the big one. This is it. To do the Bible. To do it. I mean, experience it, write it, and you really do have to experience it, because a lot of these images have been dredged up from within, basically. And I answer to a group of theologians at St. John's University, and they sketch out what things they think are important. So, and again, the reason why this is not a Bible that could have been done at any other time is they would not have featured, for instance, the feminine. I mean, that was probably distinctly lacking in 700 years ago, I guess. But they also briefed me to do that, and they briefed me also, and also their choice of illuminations, where they would have them. I mean, for instance, they haven't asked me to do Jonah being swallowed by a whale, which was something which in the Middle Ages was absolutely required. Everybody had to see these monsters and these great things. Well, that wasn't asked for now. What informs their choice is a modern outlook.
Did you have sometimes disagreements over what the illustrations should be?
No. You see, what I do is I listen to their brief, I read it carefully, I then look at the Bible, and then I reread and I play back and forth, and I get a feeling for what I think is the punchline, if you look at it that way. For instance, there are many different ways you could illustrate the crucifixion. Could you concentrate on a weeping child at the foot of the cross? Would you concentrate on Mary's grief? You've got many different points. So, as an artist, I do choose what I think is the punchline. Now, there has been a point where, I'll give you an example, the baptism of Christ by John the Baptist. Now, to me, the punchline was, after being tempted by the devil being cast out was a real dramatic moment, and suddenly angels came, and the whole air, as it were, was filled to support Jesus in his coming out and his realization, and he's got rid of temptation. That was the punchline for me. But the Roman Catholic theology is, the punchline is actually nowhere near there. It's very close physically. He leaves there and, of course, meets up with John the Baptist and is baptized, and then the sky opens, as it were, and God says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," or whatever translation. That's the big moment. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I saw it one way, but I'm not wedded to that. That was what they wanted. They felt that is the moment, and I had no problem switching from that. It's not meant to be controversial. It's meant to make contact and then cause discussion. I've seen people weep over the pages of the original. Walk in and just weep. And I am sort of horrified because I hadn't mean people to weep. I mean, but I've suddenly realized it's taken on a life of its own.
And what were the pages that these people were weeping
over? You name it. I've had a letter last week. Somebody said, I walked into the exhibition, I started crying, and I didn't stop till I went through the other end. So I don't know. I mean, a group of Buddhist monks have walked into St. John's, into where there was one of the pages on display. They all knelt and prayed and then walked away. I don't know. It's become its own thing now.
Has your own understanding of the Bible and the message within it changed or modified in some way as you've taken on this work and been doing it?
Well, I mean, it's just like peeling off layers of an onion. I mean, I've got deeper and deeper into a lot of the understanding of it. I think, well, when you go through that process of peeling back the onion, of course you do. And what I really come out of it at the end of this is just how significant these texts are, how they stand up in this day and age. They really are. They have in them so much that is really difficult to swallow. In fact, probably not possible to swallow whole. But then it's there to talk about. And then that takes you on to another place. I actually think really significant, wonderful texts.
Coming to your equipment, as you said, this is equipment that's been used for hundreds of years, quills and hand mixing the paints. Are there any sort of concessions to modernity in your equipment?
Yes, sure. The whole thing was laid out on computer beforehand. It was a CD on a disc. It came from the translator, this particular edition, which is the New Revised Standard Edition.
The project wanted to be an ecumenical one that was not just for Catholics, was it?
Well, it's ecumenical more in spirit because the people who briefed me are open. They chose the New Revised Standard Version because they thought it was... Because one of the reasons, it's used by so many other churches. It's used by the Congregational Church in the United States. It's used in the Church of England and the Episcopalian Church in the US. It's used by the Methodists. So they thought, number one, let's talk with a common voice, as it were, I guess. But it's, as I say, it's a Roman Catholic ordering. And so ecumenical is too strong a word. I think it's not that. It's just sharing. It's about saying, look, we're all got different roads to the same thing, and that this should be as open as possible. And so sprinkled throughout this are designs taken, not just, as I was saying, from the images of around us in modern life. You've got it on this very page here, which is the opening of Ecclesiastes. I have used Islamic medieval astronomical diagrams here, and I've overlaid them onto Hubble telescope images and images from NASA of the birth of a star and of the universe. You'll find in other parts, even in the New Testament, in the Gospels and Acts, I've used Buddhist mandala, cosmic mandala images, and there are also other sprinklings of the actual Gospel and Acts starts with a huge menorah and with a Hebrew ordering of all of the ancestors of Christ.
How long did it take on average to write each page when there was just, say, a written page?
Well, each person varies, interestingly. On the original, every scribe notates on the top of the page exactly how long it takes them. Now, that varies from, I would say, 7 hours, maybe even 6.5 hours, for a text page, to one of the scribes who would take up to 13 hours to write the same. Certain scripts take less time.
When it comes to an illustration, say a full-page illustration, that must take a long time, doesn't it?
It does. But then a lot of it is time is spent, for instance, on this one, this one of Ecclesiastes, probably took, I don't know, 3 weeks to work out the actual design, and then maybe 7 or 8 days to finish as an art piece of art. Much quicker to do it than to work it out, because you can't make mistakes. You know, that writing's in place. So I can't afford to let that paint go over onto the writing. So it's not like a canvas. I'm not painting like an artist with a canvas where I can scrape it off again or even get a new canvas. This is part of a page which is not only written there, it's also written on the other side of here. And it also is part of another page. So you're sometimes working on a page which has had 3 other artists already working on it. And so you have to shed that feeling of fear and go for it.
How will you feel when it's all finished?
I know my wife will feel enormously glad, but because it's gone on about 3-4 years longer than it should have, I will feel that it won't have finished. I think it'll still be working in me till I die.
A life-changing experience, then.
Life-enhancing.
I was talking there to Donald Jackson, calligrapher and artistic director of the St. John's Bible Project.